Jubilee, I scoffed at the word. I was drowning, not because life was falling apart, but because something powerful was growing inside me. Depression wrapped around me like a fog, yet no one could see it. I wasn't just tired, I was spiritually under siege, carrying a child who would shift atmospheres, and everything in hell wanted to stop it. I felt alone. I questioned God. I wondered if he had gone silent or if I had just wandered too far to hear him. But in the silence, he kept singing. I'd wake up with songs I'd never heard before. One word kept echoing, louder than the rest. Jubilee. A word I didn't feel. A word I didn't understand. A word that felt like mockery because all I knew was survival. But that word, that promise, was the thread that pulls me through the darkest season of my life. Let me take you back. Hey friends, welcome back to Rebuilding Ruins. It's your girl, Amina. A space for those who feel the weight and the call of Isaiah 61:4, that they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated, that they will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. If you feel like God is calling you to rebuild what past generations left broken, to pick up what others laid down, then you're in the right place. This space was made for you. And if you're new here, I want to extend a heartfelt welcome. I'm so glad you found this community, and I truly hope you'll become part of it. If you would, take a second to like, comment, and subscribe, and hit the notification bell so you don't miss a thing. Now, if you've noticed, today's setting looks a little bit different. I'm coming to you straight from guess where? There's some clues. My bedroom. Why? Because what I'm sharing today is intimate, personal, and I felt like an intimate story deserves an intimate space. So, welcome in. Let's get into it. So, as I said, I wanted to share something really personal with you today. This isn't just a story. It was my journey. And I feel like I'm still on that journey. The remnants of that have not fully gone away. This journey involves depression, identity, motherhood, and spiritual warfare, and in the end, jubilee. So if you're in a season where it feels like the heavens are brass and nothing makes sense, I hope this encourages you. Let's rewind. I was pregnant. That for me is a normal Tuesday because I have 10 kids, so nothing new about that. And in the natural, there was no reason for the heaviness that I was feeling. Nothing was like that wrong on the outside, but internally, I was drowning. It wasn't circumstantial depression. It was very spiritual. At least that was my sense. Our family was embarking on this new season of our life. We had just come out of this amazing season. We were heavily involved in ministry at our church. We had an amazing church family. I had finished this amazing internship that just gave me the space to get deeper in the Lord and develop spiritual gifts and talents and just run with people that were like-minded. And when I finished mine, my husband started his. And so we were in this remarkable place of breakthrough. Breakthrough in our marriage, breakthrough financially, spiritually, emotionally, like all the breaks. It felt so effortless and organic. It wasn't a place where we were striving in our Christianity, but we just had this confidence and this knowing. All of that trickled down to our children. We just felt like it was time to step into something new, you know, like the next level. There was a door that was open for us to move. So we decided, you know what? Let's do it. Let's go ahead and just step out. And we packed everything up and we moved out of state. My husband was starting a new career. This was supposed to be this really fun, exciting time. We were just totally embracing the newness of the season. I've always been one that is excited by new things. I get so bored in the mundane. As a stay-at-home mom, you know, the schedule is very routine. So this was something that I was really excited about. We found out that I was pregnant. And then, you know, those suddenly moments, this was a suddenly moment for me. Everything just seemed to switch. Everything shifted overnight. I started asking myself, what's wrong with me? This is supposed to be exciting. New people, new experiences, yada, yada, all the new everything. And new depression. And it hit hard. And it was really a challenge for me to find someone that I could go to share everything that I was experiencing. Growing up, when I expressed my feelings, it was immediately met with shame or guilt. I learned early on to internalize my feelings and try to navigate them on my own, really stuff them down was pretty much the remedy for that. Then there was also the fear of being diagnosed in a sense, like, well, maybe it's this or maybe it's that. I can understand the helpful voices. And I also was trying to guard myself from dealing with any type of shame or judgment because I was already feeling an immense amount of that, as well as guilt. I was afraid of being told that my faith wasn't strong enough, I wasn't praying enough, reading the Bible enough, like I was supposed to, or I was lacking. I didn't want to experience those feelings in a deeper degree. I was already bruised and crushed in spirit. I was trying to put on a brave face and just soldier on. That was pretty much my MO my whole life. And just a side note, something to think about is being that person that can be a safe place for somebody who is struggling like how I was. Not so much giving them a to-do list, but speaking to that bruised and crushed spirit, being sensitive to that moment, whether it's remaining silent and holding them or shouldering their burden, if it's bringing a meal, watching the kids, taking them out for coffee, or just to drive around with them listening to music. It may seem little to just show up, but it is the heartbeat for someone who's struggling with depression. Any task feels monumental. It takes everything to just take a shower or to change your clothes or brush your hair or brush your teeth. Like those basic necessities of just taking care of yourself just feel so huge. So to have someone just come alongside and love on you and not give you a list and not make you feel bad. Why does your house look like this? Why does your, you know, why haven't you done a home cooked meal? Why are you just ordering pizza or whatever it is? Like someone who is struggling horribly with depression, saying things like that just deepens the hole for them. So just showing up and just loving them through it is so huge because even praying feels like a huge task. I can tell you the biggest prayer that I said in this season, it wasn't these like power breaking, taking authority prayers, stepping into my identity prayers. It was help. Like, God, help me. That was all I could say. I couldn't even articulate what I was feeling because my mind was filled with so much clutter of emotions. All I knew was that the feeling felt so massive. And so to just show up and hold someone who's struggling, shouldering the burden, just laying with them in the bed and praying over them. Your presence, you showing up, you praying or fasting on their behalf is huge. And just standing in the gap on their behalf, that is so huge. And even just being prayerful and surrendering in that moment, if you don't know what to do and just in your mind being prayerful, like, Lord, how should I respond? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? Or do I just need to be silent? And just yielding to the Spirit in that moment and being sensitive because the Lord knows what they need. The Lord knows if their need is for you to just remind them of their purpose and say, you are just so special. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You have, God has plans to prosper and to bring you a hope and a future. So if that's needed in that moment or silence is needed in that moment, it's all a work of the Spirit. It's not by your power. It's not by your might that's going to pull them out of that. It is by the Spirit of the Lord. So that's just something, that's just a side note to think about because those who haven't struggled, depression feels like a force that you wrestle with and it's just overpowering. you feel like you don't even stand a chance against it. And so any ounce of shame or judgment feels like the weight of the world, because you are already shrouded in a world that reminds you of your mistakes, your failures. So being told you need to build your faith, or you're not praying enough, or stop giving into this, it only deepens and intensifies the war, because what you're saying is what they are already thinking. In the same way God showed up for Elijah and made him a cake and said, eat, the Lord knew Elijah would respond. So just make your friend a cake, set it next to them and tell them to eat. We must be sensitive to carry the heart of the Lord to those who are battling and being a safe place and a refuge to those that are in the storm. I'm reminded of the verse in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. It's the gift of compassion, gentleness, and not forcing someone to change on your timeline, but God's. Just be the presence that brings relief in their life. Be the constant in their storm. But that was something that was a struggle for me, because I didn't want people to think ill of me or be picked apart in that degree. I also did the wrong opposite, which was isolate. But I feel like every mother knows, or at the very least has a sense of what is going on. Now, I know that all my children carry something very specific and purposeful, as we all do, to their calling and to their destiny. But for whatever reason, the calling on this baby came with some struggle. I knew my baby was someone who God anoints us in the womb. It doesn't happen as we get older. It just happens in that moment. But I knew that he was anointed to overcome obstacles and to break through things as if they didn't exist. Like, he could do things that would be difficult for other people, and for him, it would just be effortless. I knew that I was carrying someone fierce, and not fierce in a violent way, but fierce in love. Someone who would love people into wholeness, and who would be the stepping stone to love people to reach their next level. Carrying promise doesn't always mean that you're immune to pain. I battled deeply with my identity and with purpose. I felt like I was constantly falling and no one was there to catch me. It was such a lonely experience. Everything wrong with me was just reverberating. It was like my head was an echo chamber. It was pointing out all my flaws, all my failures, all my insecurities, all my worst fears, and just a reminder of why I wasn't equipped, why I wasn't able to handle being a mom or questioning everything I believed. It was hard for me to discern between truth and lies in my head, knowing what to cling to and what to release. Have you ever tried to trust God when he feels like a distant whisper? When your memories of intimacy with him feel like a different lifetime? We had just come out of this beautiful season of running so closely with the Lord, and it all fell overnight into this wilderness. I didn't feel God the same anymore. I questioned if he was mad at me. I didn't understand his nature. I felt abandoned, rejected. I kept replaying in my head, where did we go wrong? What happened? Was there something he told me to do that I didn't? Like, I was picking all of this apart. But even in the dark, I'd wake up some mornings and I'd be singing songs and hearing melodies that I never heard before. Literally, just these mysterious little phrases that I knew didn't come from me. There was one word that stayed with me, Jubilee. I just woke up one night, Jubilee. And I can't remember if I was saying Jubilee is here. It was like something to that effect. I don't even remember the full phrase. It was like Jubilee. And I woke up and I'm like, Jubilee? And I'm just like, Jubilee? That doesn't even, there was one word that stayed with me, Jubilee. We were in the thick of it. Eli, our baby at the time, had severe eczema. We were living in oatmeal baths and doctor's visits, trying every cream on the market and getting zero answers. No one wanted to test him for allergies, and he was suffering, and so were we. At the same time, our oldest son was battling horrible Lyme flare-ups, and nighttime was the worst, of course. So sleep, non-existent. Sanity, slipping. I felt like I was unraveling, just trying to keep it together for the sake of my kids. One night, Maddox had a terrifying nightmare. He crawled into bed with me, shaking. I scooted over, held him close, and I asked him, "Tell me about what's going on, what happened in your dream?" And he's telling me, and that's frightening me too. So he asked, "Can you tell me the story of when Satan fell from heaven?" Which is the perfect bedtime story to tell a child after they had a nightmare and want to fall back asleep. But I wasn't going to question it because maybe for some reason it was on his mind. So I was just trying to honor that request, and maybe was going to answer some questions. So we read it. And as I'm reading him the story, now I'm going to ask you to do something, and that is to believe what I'm about to tell you, because it was pretty creepy. I pulled out my phone, and as I read, he felt like lightning. Thunder cracked outside. Lightning struck, and the power went out. My phone shut off, which was weird because it's a wireless phone. We were just clinging to each other like the Titanic was sinking. The next morning, I recounted it all to Andrew, my husband. He told me, "I think we're standing under an open heaven." I was like, "What?" I feel like heaven has a do not enter sign on it. Then suddenly the kids come running into our room, screaming, hysterical, commotion. And they're like, "Mom, hurry, give us your phone." Azalea's on the counter. She's our youngest daughter at the time. She's banging on the ceiling and she's shouting, "Open up, heaven, open up." Literally, as my husband is telling me, he feels like we're standing under an open heaven. And I'm just like, "No, we absolutely are not. Your discernment is way off." Turns out mine was. And so I run downstairs to find out what all the commotion is, and she's just standing up there gleefully, just laughing. And I'm like, "What are you doing up there?" And she just gives me this look like not a care in the world, doesn't know what she just said and how it's wrecking my soul right now. And I'm just like, "What the heck is going on here?" It was like God was really trying to get this message across to me that we are under an open heaven and we are in a season of Jubilee. And yet it feels like my world is crashing down and I don't even understand it. I called Andrew back because I had hung up on him, and I said the words to him that every man on earth loves to hear. "You were right. We are standing under an open heaven." I didn't understand it. Everything felt like spiritual whiplash. I was being pulled between Jubilee, and then there was another word that kept being pronounced over me. So I told you, I would wake up and this melody and this song would be playing about Jubilee. And then I had a dream. The enemy was wreaking havoc on my family. Like, it was such a destructive dream that it resulted in me sobbing, weeping, mourning. It was from the depths of me that it wasn't even like tears that were coming out. I don't even know how to explain it. Like, the groaning and pain from that dream was unbearable. I never experienced that depth of pain before. It was from the depths of me. That's the only thing that comes to mind. It was so deep. The morning. It was like in my bones. And the word that the enemy kept pronouncing over me was finality, finality, finality. And I woke up and I'm like, "Finality, finality." And I'm like, "Yes, that is exactly what I feel like. I feel like we're in the final stages." So it's like the wheat and the tares were growing up together. The Lord is declaring Jubilee and the enemy is declaring finality. And one is going based off of how I feel, and one is going based off of what heaven is declaring. I don't feel it. I don't see it, but that's what God is declaring. I felt like I was witnessing the death of my hope. I wasn't warring and I wasn't surrendering, but in a sense, I was surrendering because I didn't even know which way to go. I just was kind of in a state where I felt like a bystander to my own life. I wanted to give in, but I kept hearing the sound of my kids laughing or just knowing that I had to push through somehow, some way. Hopefully this would end. And just holding on and seeing those glimmers of hope, like the open heavens fiasco and the jubilee that was being spoken. That word haunted me. I had looked up the definition, took a screenshot of it, and just kept it as my phone's home screen just to keep it before me. Then to further, you know, push in the crazy situations, I'm listening to a message and I hear the pastor say, "We are standing in the year of Jubilee." And I was like, "Wait, what?" And I look at my phone's home screen, Jubilee. And I'm like, "What the heck does this mean?" And they just keep declaring this. This is the year of Jubilee. And I'm just like, "Okay, oh my gosh, I am hearing from God. There is something like, I don't, that, what do I say? Everything seemed to be pressing up against us on every side. We're having issues with our neighbors. We're having health issues with our oldest son, our baby. Sleepless nights. In those oatmeal baths, I could just vividly see the enemy's vision for me and for my family. It overshadowed any hope or any possibility of anything good happening in the future. The darkness became so overwhelming that it was almost like fireflies in the night. You know, that's how I felt like God was showing up. It was just like these fireflies, and you just kind of stand in amazement because you think there's nothing out there when you're standing out in this pitch black outside. And then all of a sudden you see a firefly and it just excites you. And you're like, "Oh my gosh, there's fireflies." That's kind of how I felt like God was giving me these whispers. Not even whispers. Some of them were like so concrete, like Jubilee or open heavens or Satan falling like lions. So then one day we're homeschooling and reading about the Spartans, and the name Leonidas hit me so hard. I started crying right there while I was trying to fight back the tears. My kids were like, "Mom, are you crying?" And as I continued to read about the Spartans and the name Leonidas, it meant like a lion or son of a lion. And as I read about the leadership and courage, something was just stirring in me as I'm reading about the Spartans and their motto that was never surrender, never retreat. And that's when it clicked. God was marking our family, our son, to a life of something fierce, something kingly. And it wasn't going to be easy. Our whole family was being trained like warriors. And as I began to read about their training practices and how intense they were and how they would, you know, like crazy stuff, really. I think it was like at the age of 7, they would remove the boy from the home away from his mother, and he would go through such rigorous training where, I mean, he would be having no clothes in the winter and having to learn how to fight and given one weapon. And so they went through such intense seasons because it was to train them, to build them up into warriors. It doesn't matter what the conditions are. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Your focus isn't on what you see. It's just that you are being born and bred and raised to massacre, to push through it. Nothing is going to stop. It's to teach them to be relentless. And like I said, never surrender, never retreat. This wasn't random. I felt like this was so strategic, and the Lord was giving me this example of the Spartan warriors to show me this is what he was doing in our family. So as my husband is seeing me spiraling and he's not knowing how to respond, he's kind of going the opposite direction and just pouring himself more into work, because it wasn't that it was him being cruel or, you know, disconnected. He was raised a different way. And so it was hard for him to understand the magnitude of what I was going through. I think he just thought, you know what, this is going to pass. We'll get through this. It'll be fine. So he assigned us up for some marriage classes because our marriage was struggling really bad. So in this particular class, which I have to say this was another firefly moment for me of seeing God just love on me so gently and so compassionately. When we'd go to these classes, I was pretty withdrawn. I didn't engage. I didn't talk a lot. I was just there as a spectator, really. I was benefiting from it. So there was this couple in our marriage class, and she was a part of our round table. And I have to say, she would say everything that I wanted to say. And I mean, sometimes it was just verbatim what I was feeling inside. It was the Lord's grace to give me breakthrough through her words. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced that before. I'm big on engaging and talking, but in this season, it was hard for me to really press in. And so God, in his tender mercies and grace, puts this couple that was a mirror of my husband and I, much older, much more established, but, you know, they would share everything. She would share her struggles and everything. And I'm just sitting there crying like, oh my gosh, she's saying everything that I would say right now. God is so near to the brokenhearted. He really is. He really is. If you're struggling with a broken heart, he is so near to you. It is not a coincidence that you are watching this right now. He is so close to you. He is with you right now in the room, in the car, wherever you are. He is with you. He's never left you, not for a moment, even when it feels like it. This season was a confirmation that what God is doing is completely opposite from what the enemy is doing. And the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you feel like you are being, whether your joy is being stolen, or your finances, your family, all those things, God comes to bring life and life abundantly. So, like I said, those two words, jubilee and finality, it's like, what are you going to come into agreement with? And it's so hard to be able to see in front of you when you're in the midst of the storm. You're just trying to hold on. But I just want to encourage you, hold the line. Keep holding. Hold the littlest faith that you have. It is so special to the Lord. I don't care if you feel like this is all that I have to give to you, God. That is enough for him. Because when you are weak, he is strong. So don't you give up. Don't you be discouraged that this is all I have, this little mustard seed of faith. That is perfect. That's what's going to move your mountain. That's all you need. And I pray that God will even right now flood your atmosphere, flood your environment right now in Jesus' name. God, cover listeners who are struggling, who are fighting, who are warring, who feel worn out, who feel let down, who feel abandoned, who feel rejected. Father, rejuvenate and give them a word to cling to in Jesus' name. I just felt like I had to interrupt to just war for you, because you are worth it. You are worth everything. So in this marriage class, like I said, I kept having this feeling that our baby had this anointing on him to be a breaker, but I kept all those things silent inside of me. I didn't really share that outwardly because I just didn't know. Again, I couldn't really trust the thoughts in my head. So I didn't know if I was just trying to conjure up words to make myself feel better or whatever. So I kept that just filed away. So in this particular class session, we were learning how to bless each other and speak life to each other and stuff like that. So we had time left over. So our group leaders asked, you know, can we bless the baby since we have this time allotted? And one of the men, the one that was the couple that was speaking to our situation, I'm living vicariously through them, like parallel to us in every way. He begins to speak and he says, I see your baby has an overcoming anointing. He is a breaker. He is a warrior. And he's just talking. And these words are just pounding on my chest. And I lost it. They all just go around the table and they're giving our baby this prophetic word. And I am just receiving every moment of it. And it was all confirming everything that I felt for him. It's just crazy because everything I had heard privately and secretly in silence was being spoken out loud. I knew right then that God was confirming our son's identity. So then came June 24th, 2016, my husband's birthday, not that year, obviously, but the day, June 24th. And it was now the birth of our baby, Anita Zadok, my first water birth. That water was so symbolic to me. It felt like I was laboring in a pool of collected tears from this season. We had our midwives there. My aunt was there. We had worship music going. And it was the first time in a long time that I felt the Lord's presence so strongly. The birth felt like it was orchestrated. It was so peaceful. The music just worked with what I was feeling, what I was experiencing. I got to share this, okay? These are the crazy things that happen. I can't make this up. Hold on. Let me set this up. We have worship music playing, and it was random. I didn't make a playlist. I just hit a song that I liked on YouTube and just hit play. And then you know how YouTube plays whatever in accordance to what, you know, like the algorithm, whatever. You guys get me. Okay. So the worship music's playing and my midwife's like, okay, you need to relieve the pressure because you're holding a lot of tension in your face. And so that's going to help your body open up more. And she's like, I want you to do this. She's like, we call it horsey mouth. And I'm just like, what? That sounds so stupid. I'm not kidding you guys. This happened during the labor. So I'm like, okay. And so she's like, so when the next contraction comes, just she's practice it. That moment that I start to engage with what my midwife is doing, the horsey mouth, we had the worship music playing on YouTube on the TV, and the worship band, they were doing like a living room worship session. Okay, this is giving me chills just thinking about it. They stop playing and they all start going like this. My aunt and my midwives were looking at the TV and I'm like going through this contraction. My aunt's like, can they see us? This is so weird. That is how in tune things were going. I can't even make this up. It was crazy. So I'm doing horsey mouth as they're doing it on the worship thing. And I'm like, wait, what's happening? And I'm just like, This is how close God was in the midst of all of this. As I'm laboring and I'm feeling his head emerge, our midwife helps me deliver him. I put him on my chest. And usually with all my kids, I just bust out crying. You know, it just the emotions, all the hormones, you know, take over your body. Okay, for Leonidas, I start laughing. Like, uninhibited, wild, spontaneous laughter. It felt like the oil jar in me was bursting and joy returned. I was no longer like a spectator to my life. I was no longer just witnessing what was going to happen to me and just wondering. I felt like there was this control coming back to me. It was the first real joy I had in months. And so I told Andrew, go ahead and text the family, make the announcement. And immediately my dad responds, I knew he was born because I heard the sound of laughter. That's what I'm telling you. And that was my first confirmation that Jubilee is real. It's not a feeling. It's a declaration. It made me think of Mary. The angel called her blessed and highly favored, but in the eyes of her community, she was scandalized. A teenage girl, unmarried, pregnant by a miracle no one could see. She almost lost Joseph. She gave birth in a stable with no clean linens, no privacy, no honor, just animals and hay. Then she had to flee in the night, protect her baby from a king's death decree. Later, she would watch that same baby, now a man, tortured and crucified. Was she still blessed? Was that still favor? Yes, because favor doesn't always feel favorable. Heaven was declaring salvation had arrived while the earth looked like chaos, while hell was lashing out. Heaven was releasing the promise. And that's what I realized. I too was carrying something divine, not just a baby. It was a destiny, his, mine, our family's, a shift, a song of deliverance. If you're feeling crushed under the weight of your calling, if you feel like heaven is sealed shut, hold on. Your Jubilee is coming. Let me ask you, what word has God given you in a hard season? Drop it in the comments. Your testimony might be someone else's breakthrough. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. If this spoke to you, like, subscribe, and share it with someone who needs the reminder that Jubilee comes, that they're not alone, even in the wilderness. We're rebuilding together, one story at a time. Until next time, my fellow builders, keep rebuilding your ruins.